Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome one and all to Fantasy Sports and Politics. It's me, it's Mr. FSP, Mr. Broke Neck, and the place to be. And as Jerry would say, I'm too sweet. Only in the NWO sense. No other way. I don't float my boat that way. But if you get in the back of Jerry's mystery machine, you might get tapped a little. I don't know. But joining me today is Jerry and Black the Boogie. So I'm going to bring those two guys in. ATM money. What's going on?
Well, what's going on is you talking about broke back and too sweet.
I said broke neck. I said never no broke back.
Oh, my.
You know what? Hey, look, Keith Ledger. Keith Ledger, go ahead with that.
Oh, well, I could have sworn, maybe it's my ears, but I thought you said about broke back, and then you backed it up with too sweet. So I just let you go by and kill yourself by your own self. Let you do yourself in.
God.
Anyway, I'm glad to be here, and it feels like didn't even skip a beat because we got the combine going now, man. Football
to me
is going to be right around the corner before you blink twice.
You know it. You know it is, and I was going to comment on that today as well. But let's bring in our resident odds maker because, odds maker, Bookie, what I'm hearing is that the Rams are about ready to trade out of that number two pick to the Washington Redskins so they can get RG3. And I'm also hearing if he isn't taken at number two, that Minnesota is going to try to stockpile picks from number three and leverage their way down and pick up Khalil probably by the eighth pick. They don't want to drop past number eight. And who sits at number eight? The Miami Dolphins. So, Bookie, what's going on?
All sorts of deals are being made behind the scenes, my friend. But I'm not going to speculate on that Redskins talk right now because I can't stand the Redskins. If they're able to pull this off, it'll be the greatest move that your man Shanahan has made since he's been with the franchise.
He's going to be competing. Be it that the Rams are going to be probably trading that out of that pick, the Redskins and probably a few other teams are going to be competing with the Cleveland Browns, who want to jump up there too. So. Don't discount the Browns because they may likely try to jump up there too and grab Mr. RG3.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I've got several people telling me, you know, and I'm reading articles about, Hazlitt saying he talked to this, he didn't talk to this guy and he talked to that guy and da 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 da. So I don't know what to believe. I mean,
believe that Sam Bradford is not going to be traded. Believe that.
Oh, I know that. I know he's not going to be traded.
That's the one thing
I know
you can believe out of this. But I don't see what the Skins can give up, really, to acquire that number two pick. Do you, being a Redskins fan, what do you guys
really actually have? They have a nice crop of draft picks this year. They will be able to move up. I don't want them to, but I think they're able to. But let's get into what the show's going to be about before we get into the football stuff. Jerry then tickled the ivory talking about football. But on today's show, we're going to talk a little bit of baseball. The Ryan Braun incident, the denial of not denying and vindication. That's what I want to call it. Also, we've got Danica Patrick. she had a scare a couple days ago, and she's now back in the race where Tony Stewart is in charge of everything. We're going to hear from T.J. Quinn. He's a writer, and he's going to tell you why Major League Baseball is upset that Ryan Braun didn't have to serve his suspension. So we got a lot on tap, as well as we're going to get to the combine, because I'm telling you, I'm online, and I'm looking at the offensive linemen and their movements and stuff like that. Khalil has some good feet. He'll be a good pass-blocking tackle. Run-blocking, I don't know. And there's a couple of the linemen that sort of look good. I'm kind of disappointed that the tight end, Orson, can't remember his last name, out of Georgia. But I think he's like the number two or number three tight end in the draft, or projected tight end in the draft. He's not going to run the 40, but he's going to do everything else. So we'll get to that stuff. But, gentlemen, where do you want to start to begin? You want to hear from Tony Stewart and Danica Patrick, or do you want to do baseball?
Oh, well, let's go the right hand turns first, and then we'll go from there. Or is it left hand turns? One or the other, huh?
You want Danica Patrick? That's all that is. You dirty old man. Dirty old man. Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are Fantasy Sports Politics, and we do cover a lot of different things, and we haven't covered NASCAR. I don't think we ever covered NASCAR.
No.
But just call me Brad Doherty, the black man with the country twang that follows NASCAR. Brad Doherty, if you didn't know, great college player, decent NBA player, now ESPN NASCAR commentator. Well, anyway, Danica Patrick was qualifying for, I forget the race, it was 150, and she was in a bad little wreck. Here's what she had to say about that wreck.
From my perspective, I just was obviously the last lap, and the bottom lane started moving well, so that's where I was, and we were just getting our run down the back, and all of a sudden I got hit. So, I mean, it felt like a pretty big hit, so I don't know what it looked like, but I'm really just bummed out.
So Danica Patrick got hit from the back. GoDaddy.com.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I'm just saying, it's a dangerous sport, and she got hit from the back. That's all I'm saying. Is there anything wrong with that, Black?
Nothing is wrong with getting hit from the back if you're Danica Patrick. She can brush that off.
Oh, my God. Both of you guys.
She got tagged from the front, right? She got tagged in the was it the front or the back? And she spun out, and she hit the rear end of her vehicle first, and it was a pretty nasty spill, to be honest. And it rolled a couple times, and she got out of it. But I'm just saying, if you had to hit her somewhere, wouldn't you want to hit her from the back in a car, Cherry?
Let me see. How can I answer this? I like to plead the Fifth Amendment. The Fifth Amendment for fear of incrimination. How's that sound?
I'm talking, if you're a NASCAR driver and you had to hit Danica Patrick in the rear or in the back, would you do it that way, or would you just, tap her up front? The reason why I say it is because...
Well, let me put it this way. In a competitive environment and I don't know racing that well, but I do know that if you tap someone from the back, especially Danica Patrick, either she's going too slow or one of the facts is that you're wanting to tap her from the back to try to help... influence the way she's driving. So I wouldn't mind tapping her from the back if I was trying to.
Okay, that's all you had to say. You don't mind tapping her from the back. That's all. You're a dirty old man.
trying to get over on her, I would try to tap her from the back. How's that sound?
I mean, listen, she's a pretty young lady. It is what it is.
That has nothing to do with what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, I'm talking about driving. What are you insinuating? What are you trying to insinuate?
I was referring to racing.
Mr. Broke Back and Too Sweet?
No, I said, my neck is broke, you little jerk. Anyway, but yeah, it was at the end of a race. It was the last lap, and she got nicked a little bit, got spun out of control, but then went careening into the barrier. It was like the barrier between pit row, I believe, and the track. And she was thankfully not hurt. But the winner of that race, Tony Stewart, was elated, you know, that he had a good race.
Still a big win for us. We've never been able to win one of these races down here, shootout or 150s or any of that stuff, and we've been trying for a long time. So it feels good to have everything go right there then and have everything line up and to be able to win that race. It feels good. It feels a lot. You feel a lot more confident than what you do after having a bad race like Saturday where you get wrecked.
And, I mean, this is all off of the situation of last week where, like, 20 cars got wrecked. And I think, like, the final 3 or 10 laps or something like that. And, ladies and gentlemen, these cars are not – I don't know how many people follow NASCAR, but these cars are, like, maybe millions of dollars per car. You know, it's a lot of money in these vehicles. So when you wreck a car, it's like, well, it's a pretty big investment. But NASCAR starting up again, and Jimmy Stewart, I believe, broke the record that Jimmy Johnson had. Jimmy Johnson had won 5 straight NASCAR titles, the race for the cup or whatever it is, and Tony Stewart won it last year. And this year, he's looking pretty good, but Danica is actually getting a lot of, I don't know, love or attention in NASCAR because they think this will be her year. I believe she does race for Tony Stewart as well. So that's a different twist on it. But I think NASCAR is a pretty good thing. I mean, I don't know. I know Black doesn't follow it because it don't have, like, much to do with what he likes. But what do you think about NASCAR, Black?
Exactly what you just said. Doesn't have anything to do with what I like. I mean, I can't sum it up any better.
Hey, Black, tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, for real.
I'm really feeling like I'm watching 2 upsets in the making. I'm watching Kentucky and Vanderbilt right now, and also Duke and Virginia Tech, and both of the underdogs are playing pretty well, man.
Vanderbilt's giving them a run for the money?
This is right around the corner.
Yes, it is, ladies and gentlemen. Before we switch gears a little bit, March Madness is around the corner. We will be doing a free, no money involved. Yes, Dick's going to do something that doesn't cost money. Pick 'em. We're going to do our March Madness brackets, and we're going to hold it on ESPN. And once the seedings and stuff are out, maybe a week or so before then, I will set it up and allow everybody and anybody to join. And I might even give away a prize to the winner. If it's me, I'm definitely going to give away a prize. But we'll give away a prize. You guys think I should give away a prize?
As long as it has nothing to do with what your partner, good friend, Ricky, brought up on Thursday's show.
What did he bring? I heard that fool talking about he wanted to give a shout out to Gus Frerotte. You little jerk. I ain't Gus Frerotte. I ain't banged my head into no daggone wall on purpose. I heard him. He better call in today, too. I'm a crispy little jerk out. Anyway, all right, yes, let's switch gears. Speaking of people doing dumb things or getting into trouble or whatever you want to call it, Ryan Braun, if you haven't been following current sporting events, is a Milwaukee Brewer, and I believe he's a left fielder, and he was the National League MVP of last year. Well, Turns out, in October of last year, Mr. Braun was supposedly, or well, I ain't gonna say allegedly, because you know, the urine was proven to be have extra testosterone in it. Now the question was he gonna serve a 50-game suspension or not? He appealed it, and he won. Now, the whole contention was that Ryan Braun didn't deny it. He didn't say, well, this wasn't me. He says in his interview yesterday that, you know, he wanted to tell everybody this was not me, and I've never cheated. I've never knowingly or unknowingly done this, and da-da-da-da-da. Well, the issue was that the provider or the person that took the specimen from Mr. Braun could not get the specimen shipped off. So it stayed in his refrigerator for a couple of days. And the arbitrators voted 2-1 in favor of Braun because of the possibility of possible tampering, whatever the case may be. I don't know. I'm not there. I don't have a soundbite for them. But I want to bring in Mr. T.J. Quinn. He's going to explain why Major League Baseball is so upset with the ruling of getting overturned.
The big point one person we spoke to pointed out was, you know, a second test showed that Braun had synthetic testosterone in his system. Whatever happened with chain of custody, and supposedly the chain of custody itself was okay, it wasn't that the samples weren't accounted for, it's just that they weren't shipped when they were supposed to have been. They're saying that's a damning sign that he took something that he shouldn't have.
So, there were two specimens. Both, well, the second specimen showed that it was a substance, a synthetic substance in it. Chain of custody. Who had it? I mean, Jerry was talking about if it don't fit, you must have quit. He was talking about that on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's like Mr. Braun has, he's put up the same numbers over the past 3 or 4 years. You know, it's just this year that the Brewers were in contention. And, you know, they named him MVP of the National League, and it brought a lot of attention to the organization. So he became a target. I'm not going to say O.J. Simpson was a target. O.J. Simpson was dumb. O.J. Simpson, he's in jail right now for being dumb. But the point is, you know, Ryan Braun didn't do something. He didn't, you know, go out there and pound his chest and say, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. He just sat back and let people say what they're going to say. And when he got vindicated, he said, well, he feels justice was served because he won. And da-da-da-da-da. Well, let's hear what the general manager of the Brewers has to say about the ruling.
Again, we've always supported Ryan. We support the program, too. We're supportive of both. I don't have details. I can't get into any of the other issues. I don't know anything about it other than my job and responsibility as a general manager is to put the best team on the field, and the decision today allows me to do that a little bit better.
So, we just lost my cousin. He was holding, I was about to bring him on. But anyway, basically, when you're looking at the GM's perspective, is that just, you know, the company line? Well, I'm not saying I'm glad he won, but I'm not saying I'm mad either because he's the best player I have and I got to win. So I'm kind of glad he's here. What do you think about that, Jerry?
Yeah, I think he's playing both fences. He quite naturally, he's got to show that he supports his best player, or one of his best players. And also he carries that managerial role, and he's got to pretty much side with the league.
The league and the owners.
Exactly. And the fact is, this is a huge precedent. Like I stated before, this is a precedent. It never has happened ever, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a huge shock to the Major League Baseball that this would happen. So this may open up. You never know what kind of can of worms this may open up with other players with trying to find some technicalities or whatever. or whatever, or with the arbitrators. Now that there's been a precedent that suspension has been overturned, appeal has been granted, this is I don't think people really who follow baseball really realize how groundbreaking this is. That
yeah,
a player
monumental,
Yeah, that a player actually won a appeal. For the most part, Major League Baseball wins practically everything that it deals with, especially with suspending players. Now that they lost this one, the Players Association is probably tossing up drinks and shots and having a good time because they won one for the players against Major League Baseball, which has never happened before.
Well, I mean, that leads me to think, okay, Manny Ramirez, it's too late for him.
Right.
You know, he's got to serve his 50-game suspension and whatnot. Maybe the chain of custody was tampered with him. But, Black, you've got a guy here who came out yesterday and said he's never gained an extra pound. He's never, put on any extra muscle. He's always been consistent. And his numbers show it. His numbers show it. He says he's never flunked a drug test before, but somehow, some way, he does it now. I mean, yeah, it was a victory in the fact that a player won an appeal, but going forward, how do you see their drug policy being enforced? And, you know, do you think it's going to be a situation where players are going to be like, well, how long was my specimen out? Who had my specimen? Did they leave it in their refrigerator? Da 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 da. How do you see Major League Baseball clamping down to make sure that this doesn't happen again?
I think they're going to have to open up the rules for more medicine, I should say, because there was another story about Brom. I don't know if you guys have heard about it, but there was some type of medicine that he was taking that made that positive test come out as well. And I know that certain medications that you take can give you a false positive. They're not performance enhancing, but the medication that you're taking acts just like a performance enhancer. So I think they're going to have to open up the rules to accept more medications in there. I'm not going to go into the specifics, though. It's kind of embarrassing for the guys. So I'm not even going to go into the specifics.
I got you. I understand. I mean, there are many things that – go ahead, Jerry. You're about to say something.
Yeah, this is off the beaten subject. I sent you guys an email that I think you'll get a kick out of. Whenever you get it, just let me know. I don't know when you're going to open it up, but I think you'll get a kick out of it.
Is Annika in it if you're getting tapped from the back?
Well, it's around like that. You'll have to judge for yourself. When it comes through, it should be coming through probably to you shortly because I already sent it about a minute ago, a couple minutes.
Look at that. Ladies and gentlemen, see, Jerry is supposed to be on the show focusing on sports. He's up here looking at entertainment.
Wait a minute.
He's supposed to provide
now let me tell you something. I'm always talking about sports when I'm on these programs, and this happens to do with sports. If you look at the email that I sent you,
it must be a Sports Illustrated thing.
It has to do definitely with names in sports. So specifically the NFL. So I'm just letting you know. I know we're talking about baseball, but this happens to be talking about some NFL quarterbacks. So I just wanted to pass it along to you guys because I like passing along important emails or emails that I think you would like to look at. And I pass this one on to you.
I will appreciate it. I'm quite sure Black's going to see it before I see it.
Just another reason to hate Ben Roethlisberger.
I gather Black has looked at the email already. Am I correct in saying that, Black?
Yes, you are correct.
I don't hate Ben. I congratulate Ben. I might hate him after I see what you're talking about, but hey, we'll see what happens. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, Fantasy Sports and Politics also has a fantasy baseball team, league, that neither one of my co-hosts are joining. They're afraid of baseball. It is what it is. But if you're interested, shoot me an email, okay? Just go to Blog Talk Radio, shoot me a message, say I'm interested in your fantasy baseball league. It is a paid league, so, you know, let's get that going. It will be a live draft. It is a AL and NL. It's not a rotisserie, so it's head-to-head. I'm a football player. I like head-to-head action, so
oh boy.
I'm not down with the rotisserie. Shut up.
I'm not.
Just listen to what he's saying. He sends these subliminal messages throughout this, so far in this program. I don't understand it. I can't believe what I'm hearing. First he opens up with Too Sweet and Brokeback, and then he's talking about tapping from the back, and now he's talking about down. I mean, Vic.
You know what? Did that
injury send you a different way? What's up?
What is it? You know what? You got a problem. You got a problem. You got a serious problem. I did not roll.
I'm just listening to what you're saying. I'm like, did he say that again?
You are interpreting my words incorrectly. That's what you're doing. That's okay. I got you. I got the old time music or old man river, whatever you call yourself. I'm gonna get you before the show's over with. Believe that.
Wait a minute, you ain't getting me. I'm telling you right now, you're not getting me.
Oh Lord, get the head out the gutter. Anyway,
oh, man.
As I was saying,
I gotta watch out for him, Black. Gotta change my opinion of Mr. Victor Gardner.
Oh, I'm about to hurt you, old guy. Anyway. We've got fantasy baseball going on, and hopefully I will be available for drafts at the end of March or just before the beginning of the season. Spring training is going on, and I saw that the Nationals are going to limit Mr. Strasburg to 160 innings pitched, which breaks down to roughly 16, 17 games. If he goes complete games. Now, even if it doesn't go that far, you can probably guarantee he won't go over, he will not participate in more than maybe 20 games. Let's say he does six innings and then they use their relievers, because the Nationals have a big bullpen, a very big stable of pitchers this year. So I just want to get your thoughts on that. I know Black's down there in D.C., and he was trying to sell tickets to spring training last week. So I want to know what you think about that limitation on Strasburg.
You need to let Strasburg go, man. He's a young guy. A lot of guys have had that surgery, come back stronger than ever. Let's get 200 innings out of the guy. Let's not go 114? 116?
They said 120 or 160.
120. Let's push it up a little bit. Let's go 200 and 220. This is the face of your franchise. I understand he had a horrific injury going through the surgery. I mean, that's the surgery is usually 99 to 100% effective. Let's get Strasburg back in the swing of things. Let's get the buzz going back in Washington.
Well, I think because he is the supposedly face of the franchise, they're trying to baby him, and I have to agree with Black.
You can only
I think they're trying to baby him too much. Either that, or you can think of it two ways. Now they may be babying him, taking extra precaution this year that he'll have a full season, and then let him loose next year, or it's sending a red flag that he's not fully healthy, and that's why he's getting babied, but they still want to put him out there because he is such a big drawing card, and they promoted him so much.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know which way to take it. If we were talking about fantasy baseball, I would be very skeptical on drafting him if they're just going to limit the amount of pitches he has this year. I thought that he had the surgery in more than enough time. What was it, a season and a half ago?
Yeah.
that he should be ready to go, and that they're going to limit him. Truthfully, that sends a red flag to me, saying that something's not right.
I agree. I mean, I would like for them to let him pitch because he is such a draw.
Right.
And the team seemingly plays better for him. The defense doesn't have as many errors. But when he gets touched up, you know, a little bit, he's got touched up a few times, they rally around him and they get the bats going.
Let's call Bryce Harper. I like the young guy's swagger. Let's get Bryce Harper in this lineup somehow.
Well, that's what I'm about to ask.
Bring Bryce Harper out for opening day.
Well, that's what I was about to ask. You know, the young kid was a first-round draft pick last year. Yeah, I think he hurt his Achilles just before the, July, August last year. Baseball critics have stated that this guy is going to be a 50 home run hit guy. And to my knowledge, no one in baseball history has been predicted to do that, especially when they're still in the minor leagues. You know, if he cracks the lineup or if he makes the roster, where does he play and who does he replace?
Ah, that's a real good question. I don't know who he replaces.
Because he can play outfield and he can play first base, though.
I definitely need that bat in the lineup. You know that.
But he cannot take Ivan's spot. Ivan, he calls games. Even though his knees are bad, Ivan can still call a good game. So he can't catch for him. Is Nick Johnson going to still play first base? Or going to move Nick Johnson to third base?
We'll see what happens on spring training, man. The first couple of games of spring training, we'll tell us what's going on with White Top and where they try to put him. But I think he's a good outfielder.
Okay. Jerry, New
York,
sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. Johan Santana, he has not played in, almost 2 years for the Mets?
Yes, yes.
And they paid him buku money. Is Johan Santana even worth being drafted, or should he stay on the free agent market for fantasy baseball players?
You know what? Johan Santana, in my opinion, I would probably draft him and sit him on my bench because he could be high risk, high reward. And you could be catching lightning in a bottle with Johan. Nobody really knows what they're going to get with Johan Santana because of what he's going through the last few seasons. So I would draft him and put him on the bench and see how he fares. You know, when he comes out the gate and see what happens. And then you like I said, you could take catch the lightning in a bottle. An analogy of an Arian Foster in the late rounds in football to a Johan Santana. You never know. He's got that capability. If he's completely healthy, he's got that capability. Drafting him late, yes, I would.
I was going to say, there's not that much help for him in New York anymore. I got my cousin on the line, too, so I'm going to bring him in a minute. But there's not that much help in New York for Johan as far as bats go. You've got Wright, who is pretty good, but he's been injured. Reyes is down in Miami, and again, I'm picking the Miami Marlins to win the World Series, or at least to go to the World Series. What's my guy? The guy that they sent to San Francisco,
in Miami?
The outfielder. I can't remember his name. But there's not much in New York. But since I got my cousin on the line, I want you to talk about, we're going to bring it back to the Nationals. Do you think the Nationals, and a lot of people are saying this, and I'm finding that they are 28-1 dog to go to the World Series. And the highest dog is like 75-1, which is the Astros. So that tells me the Nationals might not be as bad as other people you know, think. Are they going to be any good this year, Michael?
Who are the Nationals?
Oh, boy.
Who are they? Who are you talking about? Are you talking about that baseball team out here in D.C.?
My cousin. My cousin. Oh, he. Okay, yes, I'm talking about that baseball.
What's happening? What's happening, beautiful people? Yo, I don't know, man. I can't understand the management over there. I really don't. You know, they have they kind of got a semi commodity brewing over there. You know what I'm saying? People, I think the people want it more than the management wants to bring it. I'm not feeling it. You know, that sentiment I said, you know, who are the Nationals? I mean, that's how I feel. I could care less. You know what I'm saying? I want a winner. I would like to go to a couple more of those baseball games, but I wasn't entertained when I went. You know what I'm saying? I found myself trying to catch, you know what I'm saying, another player, you know, to play or whatever. What's up? And I don't know what's up with the pitcher, dude. You know, did he come back? What's going on with him?
Strasburg is back.
He's back.
And you'll have Bryce Harper to entertain you this season, my friend.
Who? Bryce Harper?
Bryce Harper.
Oh, okay. All right.
Always a skeptic. Jeez, Mo Christmas. All right, look. I look at it this way. The Nationals, they have a decent bullpen this year. I don't know who's going to make the team or make the big leagues this year, but they've got a lot of good names that have proven that they can pitch in the National League or just in the majors, period. They've got a lot of talent. They've always had the bats. It's just the defense. Will the defense show up? I think this year the Nationals are going to do pretty well. They're not going to finish last out of the East. I really don't think they're going to finish last out of the East. I'm looking at possibly the Mets or maybe, surprise, surprise, Philadelphia. I'll tell you that next week, why I think Philly might end up being last out of the East. But it is what it is. You want a winner. And I can understand that. DC needs a winner. And John Wall tweeted when Barkley and Shaq picked their teams that they thought, I mean, they're crazy if they think there are 11 players better than him that were sophomores, whatever the case may be. John Wall had a sweet dunk. But other than that, what did John Wall do in that game last night? Black?
I didn't watch the game last night. So you tell me what he did.
Well, he had, I believe, 6 points and maybe 5 assists or something like that. But that was it. Kyrie Irving hit 8 three-pointers and got MVP.
And that was the rookie sophomore game?
Yes.
That was the same rookie sophomore game last year, which John Wall got MVP at, correct?
Correct.
Oh, well, there was nothing else for John Wall to prove in that. It's a vacation.
Just a vacation. Okay. All right. Michael? Well, let me go to Jerry real quick, because I'm quite sure Jerry has maybe something to say about this. One person got a lone interview after the game, which was Jeremy Lin. Jeremy Lin got 2 points, and he only played 4 minutes, I believe. Is this guy going to be, well, I'm going to just ask it this way. Can he be the thing that holds the Knicks together, or will the Knicks fall apart because they have too many parts right now with Baron Davis coming back, with, you know, Melo and Amari and all these other big names? Can he get himself under control and lead the Knicks to at least a decent playoff run?
Well, as long as he is a consistent point guard, he's probably the one that can keep the Knicks together. The Knicks have enough parts. They do have enough parts. Baron Davis is going to take a while for him to get his act together. And Jeremy Lin is the, for lack of a better word, probably the perfect fit for Mike D'Antoni's type of system. He has a lot more to offer than Baron Davis. Baron Davis does have the experience, but Jeremy Lin has the youth. So they have enough parts. They need a good point guard for D'Antoni's system to be effective. You can see when Lin is out of the game that they lose some of their effectiveness. Because they don't know exactly what to do with another backup effective point guard. We'll see what happens. I mean, they got their butt handed to them against a very determined Miami Heat team last game before the All-Star break that the Knicks had with the Heat. That could be a learning process. These teams are, especially the Knicks. I think that was the third game back for Carmelo. Carmelo didn't have too well a game. I don't think Amari's back to 100% because he's getting blocked left and right. He seems like he doesn't have any explosion off the floor. So they have a ways to go. There's one game under 500. So.
Okay. Wait, you guys don't think they should have game planned for
Don't even start that.
You know I don't forget nothing. Don't even try.
Well, they
don't
did game plan for them.
They did game plan for them.
And that's why they ended up doing what they're doing. That's how come Lin had 8 or 9 turnovers, because they put the press on him, and they said, okay, well, look, that he's the linchpin to this team, and
sure,
if you get him out of sorts, then the Knicks would be out of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened.
Yeah.
Right. After all the hoopla, you know what I'm saying? After he showed that he could play, and he showed up. He showed that he's going to show up. You know what I'm saying? After Then they game plan for him. So,
even the best players in the world, even Kobe, LeBron, D-Wade, Kevin Durant, I just named about 4 or 5 guys. Even those guys have bad games. And I'm saying Jeremy Lin is on the same level, but I'm just being comparable that even though Jeremy Lin got stifled and the Miami Heat made it a point to stifle Jeremy Lin, every player at whatever level of skill level they have bad games. So it is what it is.
He had a bad game.
And it was caused by the Miami Heat.
Okay. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
She Bron and him. Okay.
She Bron is a front runner. Always been a front runner. When things are going his way, it's great. When there's some adversity, that's where you see him wilt away in the corner. So she brought with a grain of salt. So,
right.
I call him LeBron. It wasn't even him that caused the pressure. More so the point guards that was guarding Lin. Lin, I even noticed this, and I'm not even a good basketball player. I noticed that Lin, when he drives, he does not pay attention to the ball when he's, meaning he's careless when it gets to, okay, well, I'm ready to make my pass. He's looking up at space as opposed to the person that's guarding him. And that's what I saw the Miami Heat guard, do to him. He said, okay, well, fine. You know what? He's not going to pay me no attention. I'm going to just steal the ball while he's lazily bouncing it. I'm going to just do what I do. And it caused them to get in some double teams, and they really put the press on them. They did what Sean Marion and the Mavericks tried to do, which was trap them, get them to panic a little, and make mistakes.
The difference is they didn't use their big-time players to, you know, to do that to Jeremy Lin. All they did was go ahead and say, okay, well, you know what? This Wake won't make a mistake. Let's just be quick and fast on him. And he made mistakes, which is game planning, but I'm not going to get on that subject anymore. I'm going to ask this one question. I do want to get the football, but I got a feeling this one question is going to, like, take the remaining 45 minutes.
Okay.
Got a feeling.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, I want to know from you, Jerry, because I know you're probably going to give me a reasonable and a legitimate explanation for this, whereas my cousin's going to go off the handle and
say
some weird stuff.
This must be good.
What do you think about Manny Pacquiao choosing to fight this other guy? What do you think about that? I forgot the kid's name. He looks like Floyd, but he ain't Floyd.
You talking about Timothy Bradley?
Yeah, Bradley. Thank you
Bradley,
very much.
Bradley, yeah.
Well, I don't. To tell you the truth, I don't know too much about this guy. I think probably Black or Macau can enlighten me on this other guy. I think it's just a tune up for a bigger fight. I could be wrong. I don't know about this kid Bradley. So maybe Black, if you go to Black first or Macau next or whoever,
I'm
can
go to
tell
Black
me.
First. I'm gonna go to Black. Oh, cause I know
okay.
What my
okay. Talk to me.
Please.
Talk to me, Black.
The money is still not right, man. That's the only reason
what?
He's taking this fight. The money is not right for the Mayweather fight. So you got to do something. I mean, you're already running the country over there in the Philippines. You got to tune up for Mayweather somehow. This is the fight he's taking.
Well,
hopefully Bob Arum and those guys can get the money together so we can get this super fight.
Well,
so what do you think about Bradley fighting him, period? I mean,
right. tell me about this kid Bradley.
Fight?
I know nothing about Bradley.
This dude Bradley is a pretty good fighter. He's a pretty good fighter. He's highly ranked. This is a very respectable fight for Pacquiao.
Really?
To
oh, totally different
yeah.
from what I thought you were gonna say.
Yeah, I mean, it still doesn't matter. You know, Arum does not want him to fight Mayweather, just point blank, because the cash cow will be over, and everybody know it. We all know it. They know it, and he keeps spinning this thing like it's a Mayweather thing. No, we all know it's Pacquiao. You know, Mayweather then gave him an out, you know what I'm saying, offered him the money so he can come away from Arum, but he won't do it, so no. And it's real odd to me, it's real funny to me that Miguel Cotto used to be in the same position that Pacquiao was many years ago when he was under Bob Arum, and everybody wanted Mayweather and Cotto to fight, but they never got the fight going on. Now, all of a sudden, Cotto is not under Arum, and he's fighting Mayweather. I don't understand.
Well,
who's
Cotto under now?
Cotto is
Golden
not under
Boy.
Arum.
I think he's under Golden Boy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, he's
under Golden Boy.
Mm-hmm. That's why,
okay.
that's why this fight is happening.
Well, listen, I'm not saying that the Oscar De La Hoya's promotion, Golden Boy, doesn't know how to make a fight. They know how to make a fight. They know how to put people in seats. They do. I mean, you got three former world-class fighters heading this organization or being the face of the organization, and they know what a good fight makes, okay? Now, when it comes down to the business side of it, okay, totally different beast. You got to definitely make the money right, so to speak. I think if Floyd can come out and they can go ahead and do the 45,000 seat arena, the money's there. There's no excuses there, whatever the case may be.
No. That's a weak excuse. Very weak.
Oh my God! I didn't say it was an excuse. I'm just saying I think if that were the case, the money would be right when he gets out of prison or whatever the case may be. But in the time being, you know, Cotto versus Mayweather is a decent fight as well. It might not be the fight everybody wants to see, but it's a decent fight. This Bradley kid is what I was asking about because I had no knowledge of this guy. I looked up, I was in the hospital, and I was reading Yahoo when it said, okay, you know, that Pacquiao was going to be fighting Bradley, and it's around the same time, it's towards the end of May, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Towards the end of May.
So it's supposed to be, you know, a decent fight. Now, I've never heard of him. He might be a dark horse in this thing and mess up the entire payday for both of them. If he
He's not going to mess up any payday for Mayweather. He's messing up Pacquiao's payday. That's what's going on, Slim.
Okay,
don't
what
get
I'm
it
saying
twist.
Is, so is he good enough to actually beat Pac-Man?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm telling you it's a respectable, it's a very respectable fight. This kid can get in there and really mix it up with Pacquiao. He's going to give Pacquiao some problems. I really want to see this fight.
So do you think Bradley would have been, you know, a top contender for Mayweather at some point, or is it just the fact he's a good matchup for
I think it's a good matchup for Pacquiao. I think Pacquiao will win the fight, but it's not going to be easy for him. It's not going to be easy for him at all. I really want to see this.
All right. Well, that was better than I thought it would be. You didn't come off and go crazy like I thought you were. So.
No, I mean, I actually know boxing.
Oh, shut up. I know boxing, too. But I just...
No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't
yes,
fight it. No,
we,
you
we
don't
just
fight.
Disagree on one matchup. So, let's move on to a boxing match of sorts. RG3 says he feels as though he wouldn't mind being the understudy to Peyton Manning. Conversely, Andrew Luck said yesterday, you know, I want to start, I want to be the number one overall pick, and I want to, you know, start for the Colts, and I grew up wanting to be Peyton Manning and da-da-da-da-da. Doesn't sound like he wants to be a backup to Peyton, but if it comes down to that, is he ready to be Peyton's understudy, or is Bob, not Bob Arum, see, got me thinking of Bob Arum, Bob Irsay ready to turn the keys over to young Luck? Mr. Taylor.
Well, Andrew Luck's going to be the number one pick for Indianapolis. I saw a press conference yesterday about him not throwing at the combine. I didn't like Andrew Luck, or I didn't think too much of Andrew Luck before the college season. I stated before the college season that I didn't think he was going to win the Heisman, and he didn't. I still don't think too much of him. I think this is a guy, supposedly, that the whole media supposedly has hyped this guy up to Peyton Manning. This
I agree.
Draft pick since Peyton Manning, and that's a quote that I've heard over and over again from the mass media. And for my opinion, I saw this press conference last night. You know what? I'm gonna make a bold statement here, and I think this is what's going to happen. The media, the Indianapolis Colts,
are going to be
in for a huge shock of some type. I think this kid is, and they had a. Earlier yesterday on the NFL Network, the 10 top draft picks, draft bus, quarterback draft bus or whatever, and the number one was Ryan Leaf. I see Ryan Leaf deja vu all over again. Maybe not to the fact that the kid's immature, but I don't see this kid being the next Peyton Manning, and I don't see this kid being what they think he's going to be.
No,
he may be
and I agree with you. I don't think he's going to be a bust. I do believe that he has all of the raw material to be a great quarterback. I believe he has that, but it's all in who he gets with. You know what I mean? And they've just basically tossed out everything in Indianapolis and just going to start all over from scratch. And I'm just like, okay. I don't think that was a good move. I don't think that was a good move. If you're gonna bring in this kid, right, and you've had a system that was in place, and you've had a master there that was really good at it, and brought you a Super Bowl and stuff like that, and why can't it just makes too much sense to me to have him understudy. That if they had done something like that, I think that it would have worked much better. But I can agree with you that he is not going to be what you think he is, even if he goes to Indianapolis. And I don't think that it's going to be any kind of understudy going on there. I think they're going to trade. I think they're going to trade Manning. They're going to trade him. I don't see how that's going to work.
Let me let Black get his stuff in before.
Go ahead, Black. I'm sorry, Black.
Oh, no problem. I'm going to take it in a totally different direction, Silas. And I want to see if you guys feel me or not. There's no way you're going to have back-to-back NFL drafts with two black quarterbacks going number one.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I feel you.
No way in the world.
Okay.
You can expound on that if you like.
I'm going to, but go ahead, Jerry.
I hear Vic quivering in his shoes when you brought that up, because Vic never likes to address a four-letter word called race.
I don't know why
you're so afraid to address what it could be an obvious thing, and I didn't really think about it until Black said something. But that's a strong possibility that Black has a point there. So
no.
And I'm not saying that there could be a conspiracy theory type of thing here, that's not going to happen back to back years. But you never know. You never know.
Okay.
Let me put it that way. The media jumped off Andrew Luck. They've been on him since the last 2 years. And he's an okay college player. He hasn't been the outstanding college player. RG3 was clearly the best quarterback, in my opinion, than Andrew Luck. And I don't know. I mean, they built this guy up. I'm telling you, this guy is going to be – I think he's going to be a bust. I don't think the type of players that Peyton Manning had, he had a lot of number one picks when Peyton Manning was a quarterback on his team. Andrew Luck, he's going to get players, but they're going to be rebuilding. And I don't know about number one players or high draft picks. So he's going to have a tough road to hoe. So
yeah, I totally agree. But I feel you on that, Black. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. Andrew Luck will be the number one quarterback. It won't be because of that, but it'll just be because of the hype around Andrew Luck. But no,
imagine
it ain't,
several
it ain't
GMs didn't agree with him being the best quarterback,
mm-hmm.
And I kind of agree with them.
Okay, all right, my turn. I agree with Michael that if this is the case, I don't think it's going to be because he's a black quarterback. Okay, I think that RG3 is a sure enough talent. His actual measurements were 6'3" and
6'2" and 5'8" or something like that.
Yeah, 6'2" and 3/8".
Or whatever it was, yeah. Right.
Which is a nice size quarterback. Okay, you won't want him 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", whatever. But 6'2" is not small. It's not big, but it's not small either. I heard a report about comparing him to Cam Newton and Ron Rivera. Matter of fact, there's an article on NFL.com, a brief article, where Ron Rivera said that RG3 is not the second version of Cam Newton. One, he's not tall enough, and da-da-da-da-da. Got it. Here's the deal. For what Indianapolis wants to do, if they stick with the number one pick, Andrew Luck fits them perfectly for what they want to do. They want to get away from...
What is it they want to do?
I'm telling you, they want to get away from the throwing the ball 40, 50 times a game. They want to move more toward a balanced attack. Now, for all of the shortcomings athletically that Andrew Luck has, which aren't many, you know, he's not that mobile. He's not a runner. He's, you know, nothing like that. But he's able to manage the game pretty doggone well. They're not going to go to a three tight end set in Indianapolis. They don't have the line to do that. They have a mobile line that can go to a more run blocking, a zone run blocking scheme, and try to do more of a cut block and a one cut and go system, where Joseph Addai, you know, isn't going to be the answer. Donald Brown, I could see emerging as the sole starter in Indianapolis under that system, because Joseph Addai just isn't built for that type of scheme. He's just not. He's built for the Peyton Manning scheme, which they're going to move away from. RG3 is geared more toward what Peyton is, plus running. RG3 can throw the ball. He makes good decisions. Yes, he comes from a spread offense, and he's been working on underneath the center and all the other mess, but he lends more toward let's sling the ball around a lot more and make plays happen. The only problem is he's not going to be the player that they want. He's going to – with the salary cap in for the top 10, I believe the top 10 draft picks have a set salary now. You can't get but so much. I think
right.
It's like $35, $36 million total.
Somewhere around there.
For like, yeah, about a 4 or 5 year contract.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. RG3, in my opinion, would command more than that after 1 or 2 years of his contract, whereas Andrew Luck would be earning that money, just about that base salary, to manage the team. Now, another interesting thing that I was listening to earlier today while I was watching the Combine online is that Jeff Saturday said there are multiple needs that Indianapolis has. There's a possibility that they might not even pick Luck or pick at number one if they get the right deal. And I think there are a few teams out there that believe that Andrew Luck is the answer and are willing to give up an Atlanta-style trade to get Andrew Luck. You know, like they did, like Atlanta gave to Cleveland for Julio Jones, or like New Orleans gave to the Redskins for Ricky Williams. You know, so you got two teams sitting up there at 1 and 2 that conceivably won't even pick 1 and 2 based upon the fact that somebody wants to, you know, move all the way up to get Andrew Luck. If you look at the Colts, they need help on defense because they're old. They need help on offense because they can't move. If you cut Peyton Manning, or when you cut Peyton Manning, whatever, fine. That frees up a lot of money, but there's not that much talent in the pool with their 7 picks. They may have like 6 or 7 picks. They don't have a lot of picks. They're trying to get maybe 10 or 11 picks. So I don't even think, and this is just me talking, I don't think Andrew Luck is going to be the number one pick only because I don't see the Colts putting that type of money on that guy when they need 10, 12 different positions, and, you know, there aren't that many good free agents out there this year. LeRon Landry, okay, he leaves the Redskins. He still didn't get that Achilles tendon issue taken care of. So, you know, wherever he goes, if he doesn't stay with the Redskins, he's going to be a liability. Offensive lineman, can you name me at least 2 outstanding unrestricted or restricted free agent offensive linemen? that'll fit into a system that's ready to protect a rookie quarterback? I don't see too many. You got a lot of nice young linemen in this upcoming draft that are at the combine right now, but there are so many reasons why I don't think Andrew Luck is going to be number one or RG3, unless the Colts trade out of that pick.
Colts will not trade out of that pick.
No, they ain't going to trade out that pick.
Colts will not trade out of that pick. And for football purposes, for their team purposes, for PR purposes, they've been touting that they're going to pick Andrew Luck. I can guarantee you 100% Andrew Luck will be the first pick for the Indianapolis Colts. There's no two ways about it. Unless something happens between now and late April that Andrew Luck screws up on his pro day, and he has to do that royally, that Andrew Luck will be the number one pick, and he's going to the Indianapolis Colts.
Are they giving you too much?
Manning is
too much
doing
that
wrong, Andrew Luck is not going to
morphine.
The Indianapolis Colts.
Are you getting too much morphine, Vic?
Shut up, dude. actually, they gave me morphine and something else. It was more. They gave me.
I need for them to take those doses down just a little bit.
Whatever, Chad. No, but, I mean, I'm thinking about it this way. Let's say Irsay and Manning make a deal, right? And they bring him back for less money. Peyton knows, okay, I want 1 or 2 years. Okay? So,
didn't
will
Peyton
that be
just
enough
have a full surgery?
Huh?
Yes.
Didn't
he had four surgeries.
Surgery?
Yes, he did. He had four surgeries.
I'm not, I'm telling
four
you.
Four surgeries. It's not going to happen, Vic. Peyton Manning is history. It's all a matter of time that, just like it's happened in the past with Montana, with other big name players, Favre, other big name players, they send them off to greener pastures because they don't want to pay the money and they want to bring a new younger guy in there that maybe is cheaper. This is what's happening. It's the progression in the NFL that this happens with all good great quarterbacks for the most part over the last few years. They sooner or later they get pushed out from the present organization. They move on to somewhere else.
Hey Jerry.
Yeah.
I smell something.
You smell what?
Action.
I don't want to take advantage of a brokeback guy.
That was a low blow, dog.
It was very high. It was very high.
My neck, not my back, Slimming. Don't even go there because I know what you're talking about, you little. You know what? You need some issues. You got some, Rick Santorum. You got some issues. I'm gonna tell you that right now. You got some issues. You and the past are collecting in your van.
And Mikal, I don't know if you listen to these programs, you go in the archives or listen to them, but you got to listen to your cousin opening the show up early, talking about tapping backs and talking about too sweet and broke back.
What? Mike, hold on. Don't listen to that old dude. You know you got old timers. First of all, we were talking about tapping Danica Patrick from the backside in her car crash. He took it there because he was being a dirty old man.
You have to listen to the conversation, and you can gather what you want out of the conversation because Mr. Vic was steadily talking about tapping somebody's back.
Whoa.
Danica got hit in the back end of the car. But I also said broke neck. Nothing about no broke back. Jerry's smoking that crack. Okay, he's smoking that crack.
Hey, you opened up saying that you were too sweet and with a broke back.
Broke
too
neck.
Too sweet.
You know what? Just like I said, I smell action, Slim. Don't talk to me until let's go put some money up. Anyway.
I tell you what right now, Andrew Luck is going to be the number one pick, guaranteed. Unless something horribly happens to Andrew Luck.
Is it going to be by the Colts?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're going to take Andrew Luck. Absolutely.
What's your record versus me in betting? Like 5-1?
I'm not taking this bet because I don't want to take your money. I don't want to take advantage of you. You're morphined and broke back. I don't want to do that.
Oh, fucking jerk. Oh, I done cursed. You got me cursing on the air.
I don't want to take. I really don't want to take advantage of it. I would feel bad. I would really feel bad trying to take advantage of you because I know you've been morphined up or drugged up. I don't want to do that to you, Vic.
Oh, my
God. But the general consensus, it's only logical. They want to get a franchise quarterback. They're not going to trade that pick away. There's no way.
No. Is Demers logical sometimes? No, look who we got as a general manager. The kid's firing everybody left and right. I'm telling you.
He's firing all the old regime left and right. He's getting everybody out there from the old regime. He's starting fresh anew, quite naturally, some of the players. Even Pierre Garçon rejected a 5-year contract. You think he's going to want to be there? He probably doesn't want to be there because he knows what's going to happen. Get a brand new quarterback with a brand new system.
I know you got to refill.
They're going to be struggling like I don't know what.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you know what? That leads all more to what I'm going to, too. If they're going to rebuild, they don't have enough picks to rebuild with a brand new quarterback that is going to replace Peyton Manning. In order to protect him, they need an offensive line. They need a running game. They need a young defensive players. They don't have the picks to do it, nor the money.
Okay. The flaw in your theory is when you're building a team, everybody knows is if you have the opportunity to start with the quarterback, that's what you do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what you do. If I had the choice to build my team, you know, without that guy, that franchise quarterback that I think possibly could do it, or just go and pick up a whole bunch of defense, you know, players and offensive players, and just finding that quarterback is real key.
Here's what I say to you guys. Remember you guys asked me last week what I thought about the Texas A&M quarterback? I think that's who Jim Irsay is going to get. He's going to drop down far enough in the draft in the first round
and
pick that kid up.
Oh, please, please. Get me on the phone with your doctor right now.
You can't be serious.
Yeah, I am. I think
you're tripping.
Because they're going to pick up enough picks that, okay, this is a guy that they can go ahead. Listen to my theory here. It's just a theory.
Okay.
But I think it makes sense. Jim Irsay doesn't want Peyton to go out and, you know, be on another team. Peyton doesn't want to go out and be on another team. They're right now trying to talk to get the money so that it's not that much money that they have to pay Peyton so he can stay on the team.
Let me make a PSA right quick. Ladies and gentlemen, this theory is being brought to you under the influence. Continue.
Just listen. Okay? So what happens is this. Under the influence of my butt. So they drop down maybe 12, 13, 14, somewhere in that area, okay? They pick up maybe 3 picks, 2 this year, 1 next year, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They still get their first-round pick. So they pick up the kid out of Texas A&M, who is pretty decent, okay? He studies under Peyton for a year or two before they finally say, okay, Peyton, thank you. No thanks. It's time to go. They let Peyton get his 1 or 2 years left, and then he retires a Colt and nothing else but a Colt. Okay? They got the kid out of Texas A&M under him for a couple years so that he can see what it's like, and they pass the keys to him after it's time for Peyton to go. In the meantime, they pick up a couple offensive linemen, a couple defensive players, namely defensive linemen, to replace Mathis, and get a decent set of defensive tackles and put another linebacker in there with Pat Anger to stop the run. I'm telling you, it makes a lot of sense if they make the deal with Peyton. That's what I'm predicating this on. They've talked, Peyton and Ursay have talked several times, and it's been about adjusting the money. And if they adjust the money, Peyton comes back for a year or two. He's still the starting quarterback of the Colts. The Colts, you know, they might lose Jeff Saturday. They might lose Mathis. And they might lose another player or two right there. But Peyton stays for a year or two, turns the keys over to the young kid, and the Colts gain some draft picks. They didn't lose face because they still got Peyton Manning, and they let him retire a Colt, just like his dad, Archie. Did Archie retire a Saint, or did he go to another team? I'm not sure. But it's the same thing. And if you think I'm crazy, I'm under influence, what did the Packers do several years ago, even though Brett wasn't ready to retire? He had like 3 or 4 years left in them. They went and got Aaron Rodgers with like the 20-something pick, let him sit on the bench for 2 years. Aaron Rodgers is the best thing since sliced bread. And they got draft picks out of that as well. So you can call me crazy. You can say I'm under the influence. But, you know, taking a second or third best quarterback on the chart right now and picking up extra picks.
They ain't doing it. They ain't doing it.
Pretty good. I mean, I think if you just
keep doing that.
After March 5th or March 8th, whatever it is, if Peyton Manning is still on that team, I guarantee you that's what's going to happen.
You sound like Marion Barry in that hotel room that night.
Oh, my God.
Man, I love this show today, boy. I love it.
I think they hit us nothing. I mean, what is wrong with that theory? I mean, it makes perfect sense.
I understand everything that you said, and I put it all together. I look at it, I open up the window and toss it out, because the bottom line is this: they're going to draft a franchise quarterback, to lay the foundation to rebuild the team in a different way than when they had it with Peyton Manning. I understand that you think Peyton Manning is going to come back. Peyton Manning would have to eat a lot of humble pie to come back with a lesser salary, and even though a window of 1 to 2 years.
He's not eating that much pie. He ain't eating that much pie. I don't got to eat that much pie.
He's got too much stature, and he thinks – and let me put it this way. Peyton Manning understands football. He is a football gym rat. He loves football. He loves the Colts, and more importantly – he knows that the Colts are at a point that they need to rebuild. In order for that to happen, he can't stay on the team because he's part of the past and they're building for the future. He understands that they have to go in a different direction. And it's besides all the ties Peyton Manning has and building Lucas Oil Stadium with Peyton, he knows it's probably time for him to move on. But he's not going to make that move. He's not in a position to make that move. The organization has to say, Peyton, we don't want you. And then Peyton has to go out and find, which won't be hard as long as he's healthy, it won't be hard for someone to find a suitor for Peyton Manning. So they're going to draft Andrew Luck. All that theories and synopsis you just brought out, it's all good. It feels good. It sounds good, but it's no good. Let me put it that way. They're taking Andrew Luck with the first pick, and then moving on from there.
Okay.
And if I'm wrong, you can say I told you so, but it won't be at the expense of. Yeah, I know that. I know that. You and your two sweet broke back self, but that's okay.
Oh, see. Hey, you know what? Old time.
Oh my God.
At any rate.
Two sweet broke back. Oh my God.
And he wouldn't let him talk to me like that, too. That's the bad part. It's okay. He's an old guy.
I'm just saying, because I've been trying to help you for the past 3-4 weeks. I've been trying to talk to you. I've been saying I'm going to send you some soul food out of jail. I don't know what else to do.
Hey, you've been trying, you know.
Whatever. Y'all haters. Hate us. All right. Wow, I got, 10 minutes left of live air here. We still got some more to talk about. What do y'all want to talk about? Because I refuse to get into this debate about Andrew Luck versus RG3 again, because I know how long I'm going to talk about it. And I ain't trying to go into overtime, but for so long today.
We can talk about it up until the time we have to leave. You want to talk about it?
Well, okay.
That's cool,
because really.
I didn't talk to you about it. I don't know your position between RG and
I think RG3 is the best quarterback in the draft. And this goes back to Black's comment. I don't think it's going to be a racial thing, because it's just a need. Now, again, Andrew Luck might be the first pick overall, but I don't think it's going to come from the Colts. Now, if it doesn't come from the Colts, if the Colts are not picking number one, RG3 then becomes the number one draft pick. I'm just going to tell it to you like that. If it is not the Colts picking him at number one, RG3 becomes the first overall draft pick. Of course, we'll know this ahead of the draft, because most teams like to lock up the first overall pick in a contract of some sort prior to the draft. I'm not sure if Sam Bradford did it a couple years ago or not, but I think they waited to afterwards to do that. But I know I'm going against the grain when I say this, but I just look at the total need of the franchise. If I'm Andrew Luck and I know that, you know, the team is coming apart and everybody's old, do I want to go be an Indianapolis Colt where I'm going to be on my back?
Yes.
80 times a game?
Absolutely.
Or 80 times, sacked 80 times in a season, and not have a real running game, or a new regime comes in? Yeah, it's great to be the number one overall draft pick, but when you go to a team that's stated they're rebuilding, and some of their veteran players, as you said, Pierre Garçon, decides, well, you know what, I'm not going to sign a 5-year contract, I don't want to be here, you know, that doesn't speak volumes. I mean, that speaks volumes to where the state of the franchise is and what needs to be done to the franchise to fix it. So that's just the way I look at it.
All the more reason why they're going to pick Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck has been with, has gone to the Manning's quarterback camp several times over the years. They have a good rapport with the family. He idolizes Peyton Manning. Him and his father have visions of him being the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, and to be the one that follows Peyton, and to be the starter, not a backup.
Correct.
And his father is a huge influence in his life, and a huge influence in whatever he decides to do in football. He will be the number one pick again for the Indianapolis Colts, and he's going to be the one, in his own words, to be able to bring the Indianapolis Colts back to relevancy, just like Peyton Manning said that if you don't draft me, I'm going to be beating you up for the next 10 years when he went to the Napoleon and told him, either me or Ryan Leaf, if you don't draft me, you'll regret it for the next 10 years. So that's the type of mindset that Andrew Luck has. That's the type of mindset that the Indianapolis Colts want their quarterback to have, and they're going to draft Andrew Luck. I don't say Andrew Luck is better than RG3. I'm just saying that all the hype, I don't agree with the hype. I haven't agreed with the hype. You guys know that for so long about freaking Andrew Luck. I'm tired of listening and hearing about Andrew Luck, tell you the truth, because I didn't think he was all that years back when he decided to stay, and it was a big to-do last year when he didn't want to come out. So he stayed this year, and he didn't win the freaking Heisman just like I thought he would, because he didn't really have an outstanding college football year. But they still hyped him up as the next big quarterback. We'll see what happens. I don't think it's going to happen.
Why is that, Jerry? Why did they hype him up so?
Well, you know why. Come on. Come on. Come on. You know why they hyped him up.
Keep it clean.
Keep it clean. I keep it real. You know why they hyped him up. You know damn well why they hyped him up. They hyped him up for the last. Here we go. I'm gonna go on a tirade. He hyped him up for the last few years. For the simple fact is, he's associated with the Mannings, and Mannings talked about this kid like is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Not talking about any other quarterbacks really. That in fact, this was supposed to be his coming out year. This was supposed to be the year he's going to win the Heisman and be the clear top choice. He ain't the clear top choice, in my opinion. He never was the clear top choice. RG3 obviously was the clear choice this year, but he's not going to get picked first. He's still taking the back seat to Andrew Luck. And I still say Andrew Luck, they're setting him up to fail. I'm telling you, he's setting up to fail, and I can't be more happy.
Absolute power. Corrupt. Absolutely.
And you're damn spanking right. You're damn right about that. And the reason they hyped him up, he's the next great white hope. How's that, Black?
Oh,
is that right?
Yo, yeah, yeah,
absolute power. Corrupt.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Jerry. That's
stop
right.
It. Stop it. Hey, Black Panther, go back. Come on, Black Panther. Relax yourself, Huey. Good God Almighty. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. This is Fancy Sports and Politics. That was Jerry ATM Taylor, JT Money. Mr. All he does is absolute power, corrupts absolutely.
All I speak is the truth.
Taylor.
All I speak is real truth.
Real
truth.
Real. When keeping it real goes wrong, probably done lost a sponsor. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Fancy Sports and Politics, we are here every Saturday. 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Over the next couple weeks, you probably won't hear me, but we'll see. We'll see. But what you'll hear is probably Jerry and Black and my
absolutely
cousin or somebody
yes,
else.
Yes, I have your doctor on the other line as we speak.
Anyway, we're here every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we bring you great information and entertainment and food for thought. Now, none of us claim to be the prognosticators or the Nostradamus of anything, but we give you food for thought. And if we're thinking it, or if one of us is thinking it, maybe a few of you are thinking it. So, you know, hey, just chime in if you want to and stuff like that, but we do it on Saturdays. On Sundays, 10 a.m., to 11 a.m., because we're not during football season, Jerry ATM Taylor has the master plan. What's going on in the master plan tomorrow, Jerry?
Master plan is going to be talking about the highlight of the combine, wide receivers, quarterbacks, and running backs. We're going to be talking about the combine because the combine is going to be going on we're on the program. So I'm going to talk about the quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs, especially the great white hope quarterbacks.
Ah, tears. Okay. Then on Tuesdays, we have Compassion Dakini with Kim Fun. We talk about diversity and compassion, no matter what color you are. And then on Wednesdays, my cousin has Grown Soul and Real Talk here on Blog Talk Radio. Check them out. They're always talking about something crazy and adult-like. That's Adult Swim for those of you that like
Adult
to get
Swim,
that
really? Really? You gonna compare my show to a child cartoon, teenage cartoon type joint?
Oh,
really?
You know what?
No,
really?
you don't even get what Adult Swim is, do you? See,
yeah,
you don't
I know
it.
What Adult Swim is, Slim. Joint be having Coondocks on that joint. And robot chicken and all that. Come on, son. Really?
We're talking about that.
Really?
Still don't get it. You still don't get it. Meaning it's an Adult Swim. Meaning only adults get in that pool.
really?
That's what Adult Swim means.
Really? Like, okay. I ain't been swimming before? Like, I ain't been swimming before?
On Thursday.
Hold on. We gonna talk about mind readers on Wednesday. You know what I'm saying? How do you deal with somebody that wants you to read their mind? You know what I mean? Like, you know, your lady tells you some stuff like, you know, I don't think that you care about me. You should know the things that you should know about me without me having to tell you. So
hello.
We're gonna be talking about that.
Let's jump in that pool, man. Oh man, that's a whole week program right there.
You got the old guy in his pacemaker going. He gonna have a heart attack and die.
That's a hell of a subject to talk about. Reading a woman's mind.
Look at him.
Reading a woman's mind? I've been on this earth almost 58 years. I still can't read a woman's mind.
It's impossible. That's the whole point. It's impossible.
Then on Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, you got FSP Crew Show with Jerry Black and Jeff. And the working Jamaican seems like he's coming back because he's making his appearances every now and then. But we'll see if Rick drops back in. You know, I might be Gus Frat, but at least I'm not Malcolm Kelly. At least I stay in the league. I ain't getting to that. But anyway.
So you slam your head into the wall.
No, that's what he's saying. He's being a dumb jackass. But anyway, I still love him, though. He got to make his money, so I can't complain about him.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will catch up with former McKinley Tech side, former Georgetown Hoyer, Victor Page. So make sure you tune in Thursday, 8 p.m.
Yeah, yes. Victor was supposed to come on this past weekend, but there was an issue, correct?
No, it was always March 1st if you read the flyer.
Okay. Victor Page,
What is he up to, man?
You got to tune in.
You got to tune in, man. It's been a troubled life, but he'll break down some stuff for us on Thursday night.
Oh, okay.
So we got him coming through. Also, I wanted to just go ahead and take this to parting shots. Last comments for everybody. I'm going to go in this order. I'm going to go, about to call you Mike Black. My cousin, because I ain't going to say Michael, because I know Jerry's going to jump on that.
Mikhail.
And then, I know what it is. See, that's why I didn't go there. And then you got the old timer, Jerry, and then I'm going to finish it up. So by all means, begin it, Black.
Oh, I don't really have a pot and shot. I just have a message for Ms. Azor D. Gardner. Ms. Azor? I'm talking to the doctors right now. We're going to get that medication fixed. It will be everything fixed.
So, shut up, dude. You know what, Black? I love you too, dude. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, my God. I'm gonna be shipping some soul food out to Germany. So I'm taking donations. You can hit me up at Grown Soul and Real Talk on Facebook, and we're sending it out for Mr. Too Sweet Brokeback himself, so we can get him together.
Y'all are idiots. Go ahead.
Well, tomorrow, the master plan, he's going to be – this is a feisty weekend for the master plan, okay? So we're going to be talking about – I just got the idea, just thought about it. So some of the stuff we're going to be talking about is the controversy of a Caucasian versus an American – Afro-American quarterback – in the NFL, if it's still a level playing field or is it unlevel?
we're going to talk about that a little bit tomorrow. I just got a little irked today, and I think I'm going to carry it over tomorrow and see.
I'm sorry to cut you off like that, but I clearly see it. I don't know if anybody else saw it, but I clearly saw it.
So I think I'm going to talk about a little tomorrow, besides talking about the new guys that are trying to make their transition into the NFL, talking about the NFL combine. I think I'm going to talk a little bit about the so-called no controversy between the two races of quarterbacks now. We'll see if there is still a controversy or no controversy. I think I'll talk about that a little bit. And then I appreciate Mr. Too Sweet / Brokeback for tapping his way back today. So I appreciate that. And Vic, if you want to close it out, I'll tap it back to you.
You're such a jerk, dude. First of all, I started this whole issue with the black and white thing. Thank you, Black. You're a bag on conspiracy theorists. You might put your kente cloth on. I know you got one. So here's what I'm going to do.
Got me stuttering. I'm so upset.
Ladies and gentlemen, I love doing this. I really do. I mean, you guys just don't understand how much I look forward to Saturday evening over here in Germany when I get to talk to these guys and we just talk. Sports and just stuff in general. To me, you can't have a better type of relationship with somebody that you talk about sports, but it translates over into your personal life and the real world. So I thank, seriously, my guys for all the work they do on the shows. I love them. My cousin, he knows I love him with all my heart, along with the rest of my family. And, you know, he jumped on, and he gives me crap. Everybody gives me crap. But there's a reason why. Because I'm just this like, lightning rod of controversy of some sort, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. But I appreciate it because it keeps friendships and the family atmosphere together on this show. You might have it on other shows. You might. But I don't see it as much as I do here on this show, as well as with the group of people I deal with. So my parting shot is, even though I might be hurt, even though I might be, you know, tripping on my prescription medication, as Black would say.
Tripping on your prescription.
Tripping on my prescription.
Yeah. You can use that. Hey, Jerry, you can use that.
Tripping on his prescription. Absolutely.
Tripping on
the
prescription.
Whatever.
My addiction.
Did I interrupt you? Okay. When I do have this surgery in a couple weeks, and I'm down for several more weeks, I have the most confidence in the world that, you know, these guys are going to take care of business and do everything that is in their power to keep giving you the information and entertainment that we do.
No doubt.
There's no reason for me to ever even doubt it. When I'm laying up in the hospital bed, I'm going to be listening. I'm going to want to call in, but I know I ain't going to be able to because I'm going to get all my high blood pressure all up, and the nurses are going to be like, calm down. They're going to be saying it in German. I ain't going to know what they're saying.
I don't even advise you to tune in. It's going to be open season.
I bet it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Jesus. Absolute power corrupts absolutely, doesn't it? Giving y'all power is crazy. But
absolutely.
Anyway, the bottom line is this. I enjoy doing this. I'm going to keep doing it regardless of, you know, what happens. And I want to take this to another level. So if there are any sponsors out there, anybody that wants to invest in us, I'm telling you, whether it's the Black Panther movement or my Caucasian persuasion, it doesn't matter.
Green is green. And can I be bought? No. But can you sponsor us? Yes. I mean, listen, you're going to get a great show. You're going to get a great group of people. And just invest. Do what you do.
Real talk.
We like what we do. Exactly.
Real talk.
Now, from the old man, it might be racist, but for me, you know I'm not. So it is what it is. But anyway, I'm getting off my soapbox. I want to thank you guys for listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics. And before I let Jerry do what he does, here's Jerry in his previous life.
Absolute power. Corrupts. Absolutely.
Take us out, Jerry.
Absolutely. From Macau, Black the Bookie, Jerry, who I am, and Vic, Too Sweet Broke Back. You've been listening
to You want to talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.